with some afternoon storms with a high close to 98. I'm meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 94 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are staying cool. I just heard that that weather bed a second ago, and sounds like is it a heat advisor for tomorrow, Reed, or is it also today? I thought there was also one today, but maybe I saw a different place, because I know it's not just Alabama. I think it's kind of the whole Southeast, if I'm not mistaken. What's that looking like?
Yeah, Christian, I want to say that there is one today, especially with what I was hearing yesterday about the heat index or saying, like, 105 to 110. I mean, it's the fact of how hot it is plus the humidity together just makes a very nasty combo.
Yeah, it does. But you know what's interesting? I talk about it all the time. I'm always outside in the morning. And I would say even around 9 this morning, it wasn't too bad. I thought it was going to be worse because I was hearing them talk about those heat advisors and I guess the index. And when I went outside, I was like, man, it's definitely hot, but it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But yesterday, I'll tell you this, after the show, I was outside with my dogs and it was hot. I mean, like, I could normally, I'm out there for a while and I'm like throwing, like, I'm playing fetch with my lab, right? Getting his energy out. We couldn't even stay out there long. I felt I wouldn't pet him, man. His whole body was just like, it was hot. And I was like, yeah, you know what? We're going to take this on in. So anyway, hope you guys are staying cool. It's definitely finally heating up. I feel like for a while, we just had rain for like a month straight. Now all of a sudden it's like the sun's playing catch up a little bit. So anyway, hope you guys stay cool. Yeah, I definitely see a warning at the bottom left of my screen that says heat advisory in effect. So yeah, and it definitely does spread across several states. So I know we got listeners all over the place. Make sure you guys are taking care of yourself, hydrating as well. That's definitely very important. In terms of this Talking Tuesday, we got plenty to talk about that we'll dive into here on the show. Of course, on Tuesdays, we're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, so we'll speak with him at the top of the hour. We'd love to get you guys also involved in the conversation. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to call in, or you can always join us on the streams at The Miller's Edge on any platform that you prefer, on YouTube at The Miller's Edge, on X, same thing, my personal Twitter account. Reed, it sounds a little weird when you say my personal X account, so I'm just going to stick with Twitter, even though I know it's now X. I just don't think that sounds the best. Anyway, my personal at Christian M-I-L-L-R on X/Twitter. And then, of course, the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. And for anybody that prefers to just listen, you don't want to watch the show, you can always download that Tide 100.9 app. It's free in the Apple App Store, Google Play Store. Lets you listen to not only this show, but all the shows worldwide. So if you're on vacation this summer and you want to keep up with all the shows, of course, you can watch us on any of the streaming sites worldwide, but also that Tide 100.9 app as well. So make sure you guys download that if you haven't already. Couple of notes and things I want to hit on. I see Dwight had tagged us in a video. It looks like it's from the Dynasty podcast with Trent Richardson, AJ McCarron, as well as Chris Stewart. Maybe we'll give that a listen here in a couple minutes when we come back and respond to it. Sounds like it was something regarding Alabama football, of course. I would imagine so. So we'll listen to that and respond. But it's that time of year, Reed. You got some preseason all-team lists coming out. A couple have already been released, and I know there's some love being shown to some Alabama players. So we'll talk about that, talk about what we think about who's on the list. If we think there's anybody that should be on there, should be missing, we'll dive into that a little bit, have some fun, of course. We don't talk a whole bunch of basketball here on the show, Reed, but I feel like it's an exciting time right now with some of the moves that are being talked about. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. I know Chase was behind the glass. We'd love to get your thoughts on this too. Sounds like the Warriors, man, they're trying to make a splash. And it could come as soon as today, allegedly, the way people are talking. LeBron James is, I guess, in their radar. And I don't know, Reed. I don't know how accurate the report is. I don't know if it's something that really could happen. I also just saw an update that reads that Bronny James just had his contract fully guaranteed. So maybe the Lakers are trying to give a little bit of pushback. I don't know. But it seems like there could be a little bit of movement. Now, it is interesting. Draymond Green, who, him and LeBron, they go back and forth, but they actually are close friends off the court. He actually declined his $27.7 million player option. So, I mean, there's some interesting things that are kind of being moved around. But if we, in fact, see Steph Curry and LeBron James, two finals rivals, right, pair up and team up, of course, I think it would be cool, like, just watching them. But we talked a little bit about it yesterday, Reed. I almost feel like we're a little few years too past. I guess they're, I don't know. I'm not, listen, they still play basketball at a really high level. But I almost feel like if this happened like 3-4 years ago, probably would have had a little bit more significance other than it's just going to look really cool, I guess, watching them pair up if that ends up happening. I don't know if we even believe. Do you believe this is a real thing that could happen, Reed?
Well, Christian, Shams just put out that LeBron will continue his career for the 26-27 season, but has informed the Los Angeles Lakers that the franchise can move on without him because he will be playing elsewhere.
Whoa, wait. So that's official.
Yeah.
So he's officially not playing in LA.
Yeah, that came out from Shams about 10 minutes ago or so.
Wow, so I didn't even see that recent update. I mean, that is, you're right. Let me throw that on the screen. So granted, we don't talk a whole bunch of basketball, but this is what we're talking about, Reed. We got to bring this up. We're talking about the GOAT, LeBron James. Now, granted, we can bring that argument up if you want. I get it. I know Michael Jordan, Kobe, and all that. But listen, we could sit here for hours, I'm sure. I like LeBron, man. I just think pound for pound, you're talking about everything he does. I mean, dude, pretty much like a point forward. Talk about scoring. You're talking about, I get the finals record. But I've always had a problem with that, Reed. You know, if you're judging who the greatest player is, strictly off, not strictly, but like you're putting so much into the championships won. I get that's a big deal. But you're talking about a team sport. You know, like I think that matters, but I feel like sometimes people put too much emphasis on that. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about who the best player is. Not the best team, the best player. And it takes more than one person to win. Anyway, we can save that conversation. We can get into it. It's Talking Tuesday. We got plenty of time. But anyway, here is the tweet that you're referring to, Reed. LeBron James will continue his NBA career, which I guess we probably should ask that question first. I think we kind of assume that. But there were some rumblings that maybe he could potentially look to, I guess, call it a career sometime soon. I didn't think he would do it necessarily this year, but anyway, he has informed the Lakers that they can move on without him because he will play elsewhere. Exactly what you just said. Man, you know, it's weird because I just read that Bronny's contract was now fully guaranteed, which is like a $2.3 million contract, which we say just $2.3 million. Anybody else is a whole bunch of money, but we're talking the NBA. That's kind of not, I don't want to say chump change like in a disrespectful way, but you get the point. In the NBA, I mean, they throw around big money, $2.3 million. I don't think that, but it is kind of interesting the timing of that, Reed. Now, I'm not saying they have to go pair up together. I'm sure that would be great. I'm sure they would probably love that. You know, I'm going to hold off on saying prefer that because, listen, I've done a show with my dad, and I can understand it's not always glitz and glamour like it might seem. So maybe they don't want to play together. I can understand that. But it looks like the thing with the Warriors might actually have some legs, Reed. I mean, Steph Curry, LeBron James teaming up. I mean, what do you think about that? I mean, do you think LeBron at the age of, what is he, like 41 or something like that? I want to say he's at least 40.
Yeah, I
believe. And Steph is 41. Yeah, and I think Steph is not far off either. I mean, do you feel like they still could get it done, Reed? I mean, I want to see LeBron win one last one. I feel like he's only got maybe a couple more years.
Yeah,
Father Time's undefeated.
Christian, it's going to be interesting because I've not only heard them two, because I've heard that, you know, what the Warriors are trying to do, and I mean, I feel like they're taking a right step in the way with this updated news of LeBron, but also they're potentially might try to trade for AD. That's another roaring I've been hearing around the league. But I don't know, Christian. It's really interesting because now we're seeing, like, these recent champions are young talent. Well, would these guys who, I wouldn't say they're past their prime, but, you know, their careers
sort
to an end. You know, like, I mean, it hurts me.
It's hard to say that, but it's true.
It hurts to say, but it's like their time has kind of came, but they can still play, you know, ball at an elite level. So it's like, can it still be done? I really don't know. I have to, just seeing this news in general, I have to still like acknowledge it and kind of process it because it's still kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how this ends up playing out. But I mean, at least we have one answer that it's not going to be LA. Which I mean, I think it would be cool to watch, Reed. I just don't know how much confidence I have in them being able to get the job done. I'm watching all these other teams that are built from young talent, right? New, fresh faces in the league, and you're seeing the success. I mean, like, I always go to OKC. You know what I mean? Like, just the team that they've built up. I mean, they don't have a bunch of these names like we're talking about, like the OGs, and you see how good of a basketball team they are. I feel like we're kind of at that point where things have kind of turned a little bit. I talked about that yesterday. But, man, I'm surprised a little bit. I don't know, Reed. I mean, it's like I thought that there's a good chance he would leave, but then hearing him just say it like that, it's kind of like, yeah, he's good on it. He's not playing in L.A. I don't know. It's definitely something to pay attention to. We'll keep up with it and then see if there's any other big updates. I'm sure there will be some. In terms of other news that we'll get to at some point in the show, we talked a little bit about the Terrion Arnold situation. Now, Adam is scheduled to join us Thursday. If he's in the chat, or maybe I'll shoot him a text, if he's free to join, I would love to kind of get his update, or excuse me, his thoughts on the latest updates regarding that. But even if we can't, there are some more updates from the situation, Reed. I don't know if you saw this, and we'll talk about it next segment, I believe. But Terrion's got a lot of support in his corner, and there might not be one bigger than the name that I saw in the letter yesterday, and that was, I'm going to say, our former head coach, Nick Saban, who penned in a letter to the judge. I guess trying to, you know, just offer his, I guess, support and give, I forgot what you call it, like the letters. But anyway, in terms of trying to help out with the bond hearing and the situation, that letter was released. Crazy how everything just makes its way to the internet. Like, I had to double check. I'm like, is this actually his letter? How did people come up with this stuff? I don't know. But, yeah, we'll read that, talk a little bit about that on the other side of this break and more. But again, it's a Talking Tuesday. Love to get y'all's thoughts and everything we're talking about. Of course, if there's anything else you guys want to bring up, hit us with it, 205-342-9904. Or you can always join us on the streams. Leave your questions, comments, and concerns in the comment section. We'll address it. And as a matter of fact, I'm telling you guys, do that some more because I want to talk about what you guys want to talk about. So whatever you guys want to hit on, let us know. We'll do that right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 W.
To reduce bacteria in the wash without fading fabrics, shop top brand appliances now at the Home Depot. Offer valid June 17th to July at U.S. only C-Store online for details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
The $10 bucket of the day deal every weekday only at KFC. It's finger licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
/CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Talking Tuesday, edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we're talking that LeBron James update, Reed, because that's a big deal, man. I don't think it's as big of a deal as when Remember, I don't know how old you were, because I think I was like, what, high school maybe? But the decision, like when he announced he was taking his talents down to South Beach, I don't even remember what year that was, but I feel like it was, I was in high school, right? Because that was what, like 2012-ish maybe, in that range? Reed, you might have been a baby, man. How old were you around? I don't even remember what year. Say, say 2012.
If we're saying 2012, I was, oh gosh, seven? Ish,
it might have been earlier than that. Maybe I don't know. When was that? I don't know. We can look it up anyway. I can't believe that was that long ago, but that was a huge deal. Like, I remember that whole thing. This isn't quite that. I mean, he's 41, but I feel like it still is a big deal because more than likely, this is probably his last stop. I would argue this is probably going to be his last. I'm not saying it's definitely going to be that. Jake said 2010. Okay, so I was close. So you're five. You were a youngin'. Yeah, man, you were a youngin'. 2010, yeah, so I was 14, so I was just getting into high school. Yeah, I was freshman in high school, I believe. Trevor says, since we're on this, before we wrap up this basketball talk, Trevor says, Kobe was the most magnificent basketball assassin I've ever seen. Michael Jordan, most dependently focused and intense basketball player ever. They're different. Well, let me say this, because I actually had the honor, and I call it honor because I didn't take it lightly, man, of meeting Kobe Bryant. And he came and spoke to our team back in 2018, I believe it was. I think it was going into my senior year. I had the privilege of asking him a question. He spoke to us, and of course, they always open it up for questions. And I made sure I asked a question. I asked him the question about leadership because it was going into my senior year, and I knew that I wanted to step up and be a leader on the team. Ended up being voted captain. Maybe his advice paid off for that. So thanks to the late, great Kobe Bryant. But in a matter of fact, if you ever see a clip circulating on X or on social media of him talking about that, that was me that asked that question. Not that it means anything, but I always think it's cool because the question I asked him just happened to, it ended up being a great answer. And I always see that specific clip. It's just a really cool thing. Anyway, that said, I have all the respect for Kobe Bryant. I mean, I have no problem when people have that discussion. It's just for me, when I think of like the greatest of all time, and I watch LeBron, I'm like, all right, man, you're talking about a scorer. I mean, the defense, the chase down blocks. I mean, like, his assist game. I mean, he literally just does everything. And then you're talking about, and granted, he lost, I know, a number of them. But remember, he went on an Alabama run. Every year he was in the finals. I mean, like, now, we haven't seen that in several years now, but I don't know if you guys, maybe people have short-term memory, but like every single year for what felt like a decade, man, it was Bron in the finals. And let's just be honest, if it wasn't for Steph Curry and this team that they assembled at Golden State, brother, he would have it probably at least six. You know what I mean? Like, in some of those years, he didn't really have the most help. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, for the people that bring up the championship talk or that argument, personally, I understand it. I mean, that's the one quote unquote stain maybe when it comes to LeBron is the record in the championships. I understand it. But I just think pound for pound, man. And then not to mention, I mean, like the consistency. I mean, this guy is 41 years old, man.
The longevity.
Y'all not watch this, man? Yeah, like last season at 40, 41 years old. I mean, to me, that's just incredible, man. Like, Tom Brady did it at the highest level for a long time, playing quarterback. I still respect the hell out of that, but that's a quarterback. LeBron is doing everything. Now, granted, he's backed off a little bit on the defense thing. I mean, we see that. You know what I mean? Like, he might, I'm not saying take some plays off, but you get the point. You know, his efforts have to be cut down a little bit probably, but he's still, man, 41 to me, that's just, I don't know. That's just my opinion, though, personally. So we can have that debate at another time. But to me, I've got LeBron as like the best all-around player. And I just put that as a great. Now, Michael Jordan, I was too young to really, you know what I mean? I was born in 96, so I can't sit there and act like I was watching Jordan the way I watched LeBron James or Kobe Bryant growing up. You know what I mean? So I take a back seat on that one. But there's no denying it. I mean, there's so many greats. You know, we could probably have this discussion and you're never going to really come up with an objective answer, I guess, because depending on who you ask, you're going to have a different point of view. That's just my personal opinion there. It looks like the Pastor Payne just joined on here. I'm sure he's got some thoughts. He's a big basketball fan. Matter of fact, he's a Lakers fan. We'll let him close us out on this segment. Then we'll dive into some of that talk about Nick Saban and what he did just a couple of days ago that's caught the internet by storm. You have any thoughts on this, man? We're talking about LeBron. He's announced officially that he will not be returning to Los Angeles. Not sure about Bronny, who just had his contract guaranteed. But what do you make of that news as a Lakers fan? And then if you want to chime in on the LeBron discussion, feel free to do so.
Yeah, man. First of all, greetings, everybody. Greetings. I'm happy. No shock there. I mean, the Lakers are... The Lakers, J.J. Redick, I think, has done a nice job based on what he has had. LeBron is, I think LeBron's going back to Cleveland. I think LeBron James is headed back to Cleveland to where it all began. And what a way to finish off your career. So I'm going Bronny back to Cleveland. And LeBron will get us another championship in Cleveland. They're already built to win. They're ready to go. Bring in LeBron James. They won a championship. LeBron rides off into the sunset of the golf course across the country, making birdies with another new bling bling on his finger. So that's what I'm saying. I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, I thought that. And I know I think me and Reed talked about that at one point. But I also heard news that they weren't necessarily wanting to pay. Don't know how accurate that news was, but it just somebody had mentioned in a report that they, I don't know if they would be willing to pay what he would be demanding, I guess. Who knows? But I thought it would make sense, like you just said, in terms of winning a championship. I mean, they just were in the Eastern Conference Finals. So they've got a good squad. I mean, to me, I think it would make sense to finish where you started, but I guess that logistically it'd have to make sense. Do you have any thoughts on the GOAT debate before we hit this segment and we change
gears? There's no debate. No debate. LeBron James is the GOAT.
Now, everybody wants to say that.
I mean, everybody wants to point to championship. Michael Jordan won 6 and didn't lose any. I'm talking about individualism here. Right. Championships really is a team. The team wins championship, not one individual. But when you're talking about the best all-around player, offensively, defensively, just can do it all, a team player, he makes people around him better. Michael Jordan is more of a selfish player. He wants the ball off. LeBron don't want to finish games. All these excuses these lame ducks make about LeBron James, there's so many haters, especially Stephen A. Smith, along with the millions of others. But listen, LeBron James is the GOAT. And that's where I'm standing. There's no argument. There's no nothing. LeBron, 41 years old, still playing at an extremely high level. Michael Jordan went and tried to play baseball, dud. You know, came back to the Washington Wizards.
I mean, you gotta respect that. I mean, dude, go transition to a whole other sport professionally.
He should have stayed. He should have stayed in where he was at. And so, I mean,
probably, but I'm saying, like, now, granted, it might not have been, like, the most successful thing, but anybody that plays 2 sports at the highest level, I mean, brother, you got to give credit where it's due.
I mean, listen, man. Deion Sanders did it. I was a 2-time All-State basketball player. I was an All-State All-American football.
That's high school.
I played all, it don't matter. You got to be amazing. And to play at that high of a level, like I did at the P.O. Pizzle. Listen, man, don't hate on me. It's not Tuesday hate
day. You lost your mind.
You just said give credit with credit. Give me my credit. I don't care.
I give you credit for high school, but, bro, to go play in the major leagues,
I could have
done
that.
While you dedicated all your time and efforts to a whole other sport, no, you could not have. You lost your mind, man.
You know how many years
people stay in the minor leagues that play primarily baseball? You're talking about a dude like
Deion. My problem was it was basketball and football. They were back-to-back sports, so I had to choose. But
dude, what position did you play? Because you're 6'3". Because we all know how this goes. If you're 6'3", you got...
And Charles Barkley's 6'4", and I had a much higher vertical, longer arms than Charles Barkley. I played against 6'8", 6'9". I'm gonna get some receipts so you can vet. I'm gonna tell you this, and then I'm gonna show you this how good I was in basketball. You wouldn't believe it. And so,
nope.
I got off scholarship Division I and football Division I high level to play basketball as well. So
I believe you on that, but brother, I just think there's a difference between flying to go play in an MLB baseball game.
I've been your CJ till I was about 45. Y'all still couldn't beat me.
I never even played on an official team. I mean, that ain't much of an accomplishment.
Well, I'm talking about one-on-one. I just dirt, bro. But I grew up. You can find it in the gridiron to the gospel book. I grew up playing basketball. You know, I learned to play basketball by putting a bicycle tire on a tree, and we nailed a bicycle rim up there. No nets and a 2x4 backboard. That's how I learned to play basketball. That's why when I got into organized basketball,
that sounds a little African. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I mean,
that sounds what?
A little African. We're just being honest here.
I mean, that's all I'm saying, man. I ran with pails of water from the well, from neighborhood to neighborhood, dropping off well water to people.
The way you described it, you would think it's Africa, man.
And then I was a great athlete by breaking into the school and getting them free lunch boxes and running from the police. You know, so you got to learn how to dip and dive. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, all that helped.
All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll talk about a little bit of this carry-on situation because Coach Saban, man, ended up sending in a carry to
run. Well, Coach Saban is why when you were to Alabama, and I told people this, there's no coach better ever, not from wins and losses, but when you're talking about standing up for his dudes, that's real. That's a real dude right there. He has took my respect level to the clouds, man. I told you, Miss Terry, when we were talking about last week, I told you. Terrion didn't do anything, and they don't have nothing on Terrion. Terrion's going to get off this stuff. Watch what I tell you.
We'll talk about that and more when we come back on this Talking Tuesday. It's the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
At 800-477-1462. 800-477-1462. 1462.
Stay up to date with the Crimson Tide.
Local high school sports and Bama in the pros right here.
On Tide 100.9.
Talking Tuesday, it's the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. We got a bunch of debate talk. We might as well call it like a barbershop day here, Reed. I mean, the way this conversation is going and what we're talking about, this is kind of very similar to some barbershop talk. But to segue a little bit from that conversation, had a good question in the chat about Lawrence Taylor, or not even a question, it was more of a statement. Smitty saying, since we were arguing about who's the greatest in basketball, Smitty said there's no denying that Lawrence Taylor, my dad's teammate, is the greatest defensive player who ever lived. And my follow-up question was, because I don't think there's much of an argument there, but where would he rank a guy like Derek Thomas to, LT, right? They both played the same position. Like my dad just mentioned, Derek Thomas' career cut a little bit short, unfortunately. But talk about the dominance, man. I mean, I feel like Derek Thomas definitely deserves some praise, we all know that, but comparing the two, it sounded like still it's just hard to really, I guess, even put anybody close. Who did you say that would be close to LT? Like, who would your runner-up be for best defensive player ever to play in the National Football League? If it wasn't LT.
And I said Wilbur Marshall, but he was a bad dude, too. but Reggie White, you know, you look at a guy like that. I mean, the dude was just unblockable, man. I mean, when I tell you unblockable, he didn't look strong. He didn't have no big chest and arms, you know. But, man, he used to run that famous hump move, and I've seen him throw like Jumbo Elliott, my offensive tackle, who was 335 pounds, 6'7". I mean, he threw him like a dish rag. I mean, and others. I mean, the dude was just that good, bro. But they are some great defensive players. I mean, you know, I can go down a list, but Lawrence Taylor was just, when you talk about the physicality, you talk about the tenacity, the moves, I mean, could run. And then people don't talk about it. They talk about sacks. And, I mean, you think about it. He had all these sacks playing when there wasn't no spread offenses. Think about it. Had he played in this kind of system right now, where it's pass happy, the dude would have had 250 sacks. I mean, for real. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Let me. Do you think nowadays the competition's a little bit different? I know you're going to be biased, but I'm genuinely asking because I agree that y'all didn't have as many opportunities, right? You're playing a bunch of pro style offenses, fullbacks, I formation, king, queen. I get it, but also wonder, I mean, I feel like nowadays, man, guys are a little bit bigger. Guys are a little bit stronger. I mean, we're seeing kids come out of high school. You're making that face, but we're seeing kids come out of high school at a 6'6", 250 pounds, a 17 years old, running
4. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, so let me ask, I mean, do you think, because back in the day, now, it might have been a few years before you, and I think we had this conversation years ago, but we got a bunch of new listeners now. Do you agree that nowadays, I mean, some of these linemen are a little bit bigger, and not just bigger, but even more athletic together? I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow, man, that maybe the competition has increased a little bit. I'm just being honest. Because when you look back at some of the old tape, man, some of the linemen back when, not necessarily you, but you just got to admit it, the linemen weren't as big. Sometimes when I watch the tape, I don't see that. No, it's not crazy. I'm just being honest. I feel like I didn't see I don't know. I'm just being honest, man.
Once you go look at the tape, I had to pull up the iPad. I got to pull up the iPad, bro, Reed, so y'all can really see me. I'm going to keep my Johnny Flies on because I'm fly. You know what I'm saying? But let me just say this right here. You're crazy.
How?
Because obviously you haven't looked at the Hogs offensive line. You haven't looked at Joe Jacoby. You haven't seen
it. I'm talking
about you. Obviously, you didn't look at the Dallas Cowboys. That offensive line, 5 Pro Bowlers, huge. They weren't no undersized dudes, bro. These are huge grown men. Now, do y'all have the nutritional?
10 years before
well,
you.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, y'all, you know, these dudes, when I got the league, you know, they had beer coolers in the locker room. You can crack open one, nobody care. At the practice, you can smoke a Newport, nobody care. You know, yeah, we did that. I mean, these guys are more healthy. But I'm going to tell you what's the difference, Christian, Reed. I look at all these 5-stars, and they look the part, and they eat, you know, they drink smoothies and fruit and all that and eat the nice, healthy oatmeals, and they got all of that, buddy. I went over to the Nutritional Center in South Carolina. It's just amazing. We were struggling to try to get a slice of pizza. A buck can get a sandwich. You know what I mean? You know, these dudes got all this to the disposal. But the problem is, herein lies the problem. They look like Tarzan, but they play like, peep this word, Jane. That they are the most soft, non-tough, weak, mentally weak. They want to quit when times are hard. They're calling home to mama, help me, practice with hard, the coach cuss me, blah, blah, blah. These people, these athletes are those softest Charmin tissue, powder puff dudes and would not make 1/4 when I played. Why? That's most of them. Because they could make it going training camp 6 weeks and of 2-a-days. You got to give them a break after every 45. Oh, if it's 90 degrees, you got to have a break. Shade tree, give them some watermelon. Give them ice cream. You got all this stuff right here. Unbelievable. I mean, so you can talk about they big and all this and that, but they are soft. And they would not make it because they lack physical toughness. They lack mental toughness, right? Mm. They play a game that's like a PlayStation. John Madden. Now, that's why these fans now feel like they know football, because all these coaches are running PlayStation plays. They know X, Y, Z, curl, this, you know, they got on their little thing. So I ain't even hearing that, bro. I can't hear it. And I work with kids. I mentor kids. I've trained these jokers. And they are just soft. They don't want to. They get as coach. Said, coach, it's too hot. It's too hot. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, and I just have a hard time with young athletes today. And now they transfer. If they don't get no, they won't work hard. They don't compete. It's football has changed, bro. They might as well take them pads off and give them a flag and play two-hand touch.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not – listen, I get it. Y'all experienced a lot that we and these guys especially, it's gotten even in lighter since I've left in terms of the number of practices. Like you mentioned, like y'all had to do like 2-a-days and stuff in the NFL. That's
6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 weeks. And so, I mean, that's crazy. I'll give you that. Like y'all were hard nosed. Listen, I'll be honest with you. Not many people could endure.
Nah, I can't hardly walk good, but that
was about,
good.
I was about to say, but I think
and I got finger, you know, Reed, got Arthur and Ryder's is all in my hands, and you know, red swole up. I mean. But you know what? I'll do it again, though.
No, you always say that, but you
I'll do it again.
Brother, you had to pull a chair in front of the grill because your knees hurt, man. So you keep
that's
saying
right.
that.
That's right. That's
yeah,
okay.
I don't think that's personal. Hey, I don't think that's
praise personal. God.
I want to be able to stand and flip my burgers.
Well, I stood for a long time. I'm still moving. I'm still playing golf.
Well,
my back hurt. You know, knees hurt. But, hey, that's part of it, baby. I tell them all the time. It, you know, success costs you something. So what about the people that played before me 30 years? No face mask.
I was about to say leather helmets, man. God, Lord knows.
So, hey, it's all relevant, man. But I'm just telling you what, now these jokers here, they are spoiled rotten. Mm. They are soft. They lack toughness.
That's outside of just football. I would say generationally, it's changed a lot. So we can agree on that. But would you at least consider meeting me in the middle and saying that the athletes nowadays are better athletes than maybe what there were back? Then? Come on, man. Listen, man. I disagree on that. I do. I think.
You think I can tell you? You take it from guys up. All right, Sterling Sharp. My team
well, I'm not saying every single one. I'm just
strong,
saying.
Strong, fat, running a 4-3-40. Shannon Sharp. It's like tight end. The tight ends that are now Shannon Sharp was that way back years ago. But I'm trying to tell you, Eric, I'm drawing a blank of his last name, to play for the Cowboys. This dude, 340 pounds, ran down a Saints linebacker on Monday night. No, they're not better athletes. They just get the notoriety.
Those could be outliers. I'm saying, would you agree that think about at the combine, the average 40 for a linebacker is much different than what the average, like back in like early 2010 was like 4.6, 4. Now, dude, when I was at the combine, I want to say there's like five guys like 4.4, 4.4, 4.5, 4.5.
We had that. So, I was 260 linebacker. I ran a 4.58.
Come on, man.
260. Go check your history. I did 225 43 times. Go check it.
I mean, he's just
throwing out. Y'all just got all the glow and you wearing your little tight on the armor crap. You know, your private's hanging down. Nobody wants to see all that crap while you're running. And you know what I mean? Okay, like, y'all doing like, if you want to be cute, y'all be cute till you get busted up in the mouth. Like, this is what I'm talking about, man. These dudes wear tight clothes. They wear skinny jeans and high waters and all this foolish clothes. Like, these people, like, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? And we'll call them football players? You know, football players.
Wow.
They ain't nothing but a bunch of models that toss balls around.
Okay.
I mean, all right,
we got to hit a break. That is crazy. Hey, on a serious note, though, I definitely want to offer prayers for Chris Johnson. I don't know if you saw the news, man.
Yeah.
Terrible stuff, man. And it's crazy. And I saw he was at the Senior Bowl a year ago, and he was, you know, giving advice and was talking. And it's just,
man,
it's tough, man, because you're talking about athletes. One of the best running backs play the game, fastest guys to play the game, most exciting, electric. Man, but definitely praying for him and his family. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah, my teammate, Michael Stray, speaking of great players, there's another one.
He did the interview with him. That was really good, man. He did a phenomenal job with that. But just wanted to say that, man, because I know it's kind of affected the whole football world, both players, former players, and fans included, just seeing a guy that honestly brought so many memories to everybody, man, just going through a tough time. But I know he's got a lot of support, so we're definitely praying for him. We had a timeout. We come back. We will finally talk about Coach Saban and what he did, how he found himself in the news yesterday. Then we'll hit this top of the hour break. We have Clint Lamb joining us at the top of the hour. We'll keep on rolling.
The time deals and free shipping on PCs and more await you at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to travel down to WWL. We'll talk to Mike Dettillier. We'll travel over to the state of Georgia. Brooks Austin will give us an SEC report. We'll do that with a film guy, all starting at 2 p.m. right here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from
scale, local expertise,
measurable results for businesses and communities like ours.
Town Square Media Tuscaloosa. Call 205-345-7200.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. The heat advisory is in effect until 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. We wrap up June today, hot and humid with a slight chance for a thunderstorm. The high near 99. The heat index as high as 110, adding humidity. Any rain that develops will move out through the evening with an overnight low of 78 and a hot start to July. Tomorrow we'll see sunshine early, then a few afternoon storms with a high of 97. The heat index near 109, and hot again Thursday with some afternoon storms with a high close to 98. I'm meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 95 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
24/7, 365. We've got all your coverage of the Crimson Tide on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Another update we got to get to regarding the whole Terrion situation. We talked about the latest yesterday, bond officially being granted at $1 million. Talked about kind of what it could potentially spell for his future. Now, after we finished the show, not long after, it was announced by the Lions that they would, in fact, be releasing cornerback Terrion Arnold. But kind of like we just were about to start talking about during the break. I mean, I think realistically that should be the least of his worries right now. I think first and foremost, you definitely want to focus on what's in front of you, which we all know. I mean, this still is a very significant thing. Like the bond is great and it's a blessing. I mean, you could see how late he was after hearing that he would officially be granted bond. But there's still a long road ahead to, you know, clearing his name in this situation. And then remember, I mean, this still carries those charges that are like up to life in prison. I mean, it's very
serious. Well, I can't wait to hear what Adam's got to say on Thursday. But
I know.
Listen, from basically what the judge said to me, like, but they ain't got nothing. They're reaching, and you know, they're taking the word of two basically now convicted guys,
women,
to try to go after somebody like him. It's not going to work. But again, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Just that right there alone, there's so much doubt. And no jury's going to convict that man for that when you're talking about what those types of charges are. So unless they come out with something that's damning. Stood up for a guy that was a great guy. What I said the whole time, it makes no sense. If what they were saying was true, would be the dumbest crime ever by turning on a guy that's got a great future ahead of him, a guy that's been nothing but the most outstanding citizen, good with his teammates, good with people, never got in trouble, the things that Nick Saban alluded to in that letter. And for him to put his reputation on the line, I'm talking about these are serious charges, bro. And for Nick Saban to put, say, he's been to my house, this man to my house, he put everything on the line that should tell anybody everything about Tarion Arnold. And if anything, he might be just guilty about being associated with some of these people. That's probably it. I don't see him doing any of this stuff. I think he gets off of it.
He never was accused, really, of doing it. That's the thing you got to remember. What they're trying to say, they're painting him as the orchestrator, right? So you got to remember from that perspective. But I hear what you're saying, because, I mean, I know Tarion personally. Like, I think he's a great individual. I mean, and I understand, but...
this would be like the somebody way saying Christian did this. People that know you, and like, Christian, like, there'd be no way in the freaking world. Like, they ain't even a hint of a chance that... Like, that would even be true. To me, that's the same kind of thing. Or Jamie Mosley. I'm talking about good dude. Always been a good dude. Always. Come on, man.
Right. No, I hear what you're saying. I'm just saying from the point of, like, the prosecution. Like, they're not alleging that he was committing anything violent.
Okay, what they alleged?
No. I'm just telling you. So that's the hardest part that you... I guess that's the part that you have to really remember in this situation.
He sent no text message. He was nothing.
But they're going to try to prove that even if he...
Oh, they can try to prove what they want. They can say you did anything. Don't mean that you did it. I mean, my thing is character witnesses.
But you have to hear what I'm saying, though.
I know. I've read everything on
him. I'm just telling you that's their whole thing. It's not that they're trying to paint him as that violent person. even if they can, I guess, prove that he said something along the lines of, go get my stuff back. The defense is obviously saying that he planned on confronting them, but never meant for it to escalate, which definitely is very, very real that was the situation. We don't know. But the letter reads this before we hit this break. It says, Dear Judge Sabella, my name is Nick Saban. I've spent decades as a football coach working with young men from diverse and often difficult backgrounds. In that time, I've had the privilege of watching hundreds of athletes grow, not just as players, but as men. I write this letter because of the exceptional character I witnessed in Tarion Arnold over more than 6 years I have known him. I first met Tarion when he joined my program in 2021. From the beginning, he stood out not only because of his athletic ability, but because of who he was off the field. Based on my experiences with Tarion, I've always believed he leads with genuine care for the people around him. Over the years, I've welcomed Tarion into my home and around my family. He has consistently treated my family and my staff with respect, humility, and kindness. And all the time I've known him, he never once gave me one cause to question his conduct, his integrity, or his respect for others. I don't ever recall him being involved in any behavior that would be described as aggressive or irresponsible. Based on my experience with Tarion, I remain committed to supporting him. While I'm not overly familiar with or educated on the charges he is facing and understand the seriousness of the situation before the court, I would respectfully ask the court to take into account my experience with Tarion, his character, history, and the positive impact he had on our program. Respectfully, the boss, Nick Saban. Now, I didn't say the boss, but I just wanted to throw that in there. I thought it was fitting. All right.
Well, that's what it's... Listen, thumbs up to Coach Saban. And you know what? Thumbs down to Detroit. I used to pull for Detroit. I used to. But to cut him, what happened to proven guilty, innocent until? What happened to that? Detroit Lions, I'm speaking to you. Hashtag it. Clip this, YouTube. Detroit Lions, what an idiotic move. You can put this man on physically unable to perform. They call it the pup list. You can pull him off the roster and put him on something and wait and see approach. They don't even have no evidence. So anybody could say you did anything. You just going to ruin somebody's career? Based on the court of public freaking opinion, this trash, Detroit Lions. I hope you don't win a game.
Wow.
I hope you don't win a game.
That's a lot. We got to top the hour break. When we come back, we'll have Clint Lamb joining us. We'll definitely bring this conversation back up. But first, we'll talk some Alabama football with Clint. When we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Germany is out of the World Cup, losing in the round of 32 on penalty kicks 4-3 to Paraguay. Germany outshot them in the game 21-7, but it was tied 1-1 after overtime. Morocco tied its game against Netherlands with a goal in the 91st minute. That one wound up tied 1-1 after overtime. Morocco advances on penalty kicks 3-2. Brazil was trailing at the half and came back to beat Japan 2-1 on a goal in the 95th minute. The Memphis Grizzlies traded Ja Morant to Portland for Jeremy Grant. To Major League Baseball, Detroit sent the Yankees to a fifth straight loss 7-3. Winner Casey Mize, 10 strikeouts in 7 scoreless innings. Boston won its fifth in a row. Texas won its fifth straight. Late night wins for Seattle and the Dodgers. The Cubs got a run bottom of the ninth to edge the Padres 3-2. Milwaukee hit a 2-run homer in the eighth, beat the Reds 5-3.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We now go to the phone lines and joined by our guest, Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson, who joins us weekly here on the show. Clint, good Tuesday to you. Welcome in.
Yeah, man. How you doing today, Christian?
Man, I can't complain, man. Another day, another dollar. Clint, I want to talk about your list again. I know we were talking about it last week. I want to piggyback off of that since I think you're now up to, are you up to what, 30 something on your list of your top players?
30. Yeah, 30.
Okay. So we went through, I think, the top 20 last week. And I know that was a great conversation. Let's take a look at 20 through 30, Clint, and how you came up with those. I'm trying to get it pulled up on my. Do you have your list pulled up for me?
No, not in front of me right now, but I'm getting it pulled up as well.
Okay, perfect. Is it on your X or is it on? Do I need to go to your YouTube video? I know the last ones were on your X.
Yeah, YouTube.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. No, normally, what I've been doing is waiting until I get 10 through, and I'm actually working through that now. I'll be putting that out later today for sure.
Okay. Oh, so you haven't posted your, have you? So you haven't done the finish the 30 yet?
No, I finished the 30, talked about them in a video, haven't posted them to X yet with kind of my explanations as well. It's a complicated process, and I probably made it too complicated, to be honest with you.
No, you're good. And anybody on that list that you would say stands out to you just off the top of your head? Because I know you in your top 20, you had, I know Crowell was one that, You threw on there. You said that might get some pushback a little bit. I mean, I like it because I think he's definitely going to be. You had him as running back one on that list. I did like the. I think you had Caleb Edwards in there. I talked a little bit about our tight ends yesterday. I think that group is probably going to end up being a little bit better of a group than people give them credit for. I don't think people are talking about our tight end room enough, and I think they're going to end up being probably one of the strong suits of our offense. Anybody on that 20 to 30 list that maybe you want to start with, or you think that definitely could, not want to say be a little bit controversial, but any highlighted guys on that list?
Yeah, I think, having Ivan Taylor at 22, might be a little bit higher than a lot of people, would think, especially considering last year kind of, Zay Mincy was safety three. Obviously you had Bray Hubbard and Keon Stab, but just everything that I heard in the spring about Ivan Taylor, he has been doing everything that we anticipated that he would do, being a former top 60 recruit, the football IQ, not the biggest, not the fastest, but just brings a very well-rounded skill set. And it's the instincts in which he plays with and stuff that really makes him such a special talent. And so having him up there at 22, I have him overtaking Zay Mincy as that first rotational safety off the bench. That's a projection once again, but having him at 22, I think was pretty high. Having Tadarius Morgan at 25, I had him as wide receiver three, so I had him one spot ahead of Derek Meadows at 26. And a lot of people, you know, and it still very well could be Rico Scott being that or acting as that wide receiver three. But I just think with Ryan Coleman Williams and Lassier Brooks, you're kind of missing that size element. And I think that while Derek Meadows brings the size, and I do really like what I saw from him in the spring, Tadarius Morgan brings some inside out versatility and he brings that size. And so I think before it's all said and done, the third most impactful receiver, it's going to be very close. I think the top two guys with Lottie and Ryan are probably going to be head and shoulders above everybody else. But I have Tadarius Morgan checking in as the third most important receiver at number 25.
Who do you see earning that starting nod, right? Because right now you got Ryan Coleman Williams, Lassier Brooks, and I think that third spot more than likely going to be the X, right? Because I think Ryan's going to bump to the Z. Last year, you know, first year, I'm pretty sure they kind of played, you know, numbered spots. But then last year, they tried him at slot. I don't think he was super comfortable there. Lassier Brooks is your slot guy. I think Ryan will fit in well at that Z. And then at X, I mean, you just mentioned two guys that I think are probably going to be, it's going to be between Derek Meadows, who played majority, it was at X during the spring. I think CD, I always almost call him CD Lamb. CD Morgan. He lined up a little bit at slot during the spring, but he's got the body type of an X. I think he's got versatility. Between those two, Meadows and CD Morgan, who do you see taking the field first, I guess, against East Carolina? Then ultimately down the stretch, who do you think gets probably the nod? And I guess, or maybe I should also throw in Rico Scott there, because I guess I kind of counted him out, but I don't really view him as an X, and I just feel like whoever is going to get that spot probably is going to lean towards the X. Who do you feel like is that third receiver, Clint, at least to start the season off?
Yeah, and that's been the big debate. To start the season off, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it was Rico Scott. I mean, just with him being the veteran returning player. Now, Ryan has some history playing the X position. I think he did really well his freshman year playing that spot. And so I could see him playing the X. He doesn't fit that traditional size X that you look for. But just with his ability, you know, some of his ability, I think that he can play there. Definitely have to play up on the line of scrimmage. But I thought, despite the fact that he was really light, I still thought he had a pretty good release and could get himself off the line of scrimmage. And it wasn't elite at it by any means, but for someone his size, I thought he was okay at it. And so it could end up being possible that Ryan plays the X, Rico plays the Z, and Lottie plays in the slot. But I also think you're very much correct that Ryan could end up playing there at the Z with Lottie in the slot, and then it would be between Derek Meadows and Sadarian Morgan. And I just think with Morgan, if it was early in the season, I would say Derek Meadows, if that's the way they want to go, rather than Rico Scott being in the starting lineup. But I think as the season progresses, what I've said about Rico, that kind of wide receiver three battle, it was Noah Rogers. Now we're trying to focus on Rico, Derek, and Sadarian. Is Rico brings the inside-out versatility. He can play some in the slot. He can play the Z. I even think he can play some X. Derek Meadows doesn't really have the inside-out versatility, but he brings that size element that I think is very much needed in the starting lineup or right there at the top. And then Sadarian Morgan brings the combination of both. The fact that you can kind of move him around, create some mismatches. I think they're going to try to avoid having Ryan in the slot as much as possible. And so Sadarian Morgan, for me, it's a very slight edge between him and Derek. And I don't think Rico is going to be too far down there. I think you'll see all five guys. That'll be the rotation. But I'm going to ultimately go with Sadarian Morgan, maybe not to start the year, but kind of like with E.J. Crowell, I think over the course of the season, you start to realize that Sadarian is the perfect match for those other two guys.
Speaking of wide receivers, we picked up a recruit over the weekend, Osani Gales, who was more of a silent commit. I think he's kind of already alluded to him being a commit, at least to the staff, for some time now, but officially announced it over the weekend. In my opinion, Clint, I think is a great pickup. How do you see him fitting in this offense, and what do you make of him as a prospect?
Yeah, I love him. I think he's got wide receiver one potential. I understand that when you think about, you know, the traditional archetype for like a wide receiver one, it was normally those, you know, big body receivers. That's why they're the main alpha receiver is typically your X. You also have speed guys. That's more of your Z, obviously, your vertical threat. But just playing to the single receiver side, like the X is going to be doing, I mean, you typically needed to have just an absolute dude as far as size is concerned. But I think the way that the NFL and college football is slowly moving, you're seeing all these guys who have that inside-out versatility. They're not overly big. They don't necessarily have to have elite speed. They don't have to be running 4.3s. But guys that just kind of can create separation through their route tempo and leverage, guys who can be chain movers for you, reliable underneath targets, some guys who have that vertical ability to stretch the defense when needed. And I just think Osani Gales brings all of that. He has such a complete skill set to me, other than the size. I think he can win at all three levels. I think he can win deep. He can create yardage after the catch. And so when you're talking about like the Puka Nacuas, the Malik Nabers, the Jackson Smith and Jigbas, those types of guys, the Amon-Ra St. Browns, I think he kind of will eventually fit into that type of mold. And so I think he's got a tremendously high ceiling, different type of player than Munchen sells. So it is possible that they continue to go after Munchen. But Gales, regardless of what ends up happening with sales, I think Gales is going to be an excellent fit in this offense in Tuscaloosa.
We're joined by Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Make sure you guys check out all the good work that they're doing at Cover Crimson on YouTube, of course, on X as well. And you can also follow Clint's personal at Clint R. Lamb for all the breakdowns and cut-ups and things that he likes to post over on that side of things. Clint, we're talking about recruiting. One thing I did hear you put out this morning in your video, I was watching it. You mentioned there's another quarterback commit that's trending towards Alabama. And I had to make sure I was hearing it right. This time it's 2028 class, though, which I want to say we already got one committed, so it'll make two. What do you make of all the quarterback, recruiting that we're doing? And do you feel like that's part of their plan? Like maybe a two quarterback class is something that they're striving for? Do you think that's a lot? What do you make of so many quarterbacks being targeted in the high school recruiting ranks?
What I can tell you is that seven quarterbacks in four classes is you don't stumble into that. So I think that is absolutely by design. And the way that I've kind of pitched it, and I understand that number one, everybody might not agree with it. People are going to have different philosophies as far as how they should approach this. Number one, I don't think any of these quarterbacks, now granted, as they get Tuscaloosa, maybe they start to establish themselves a little bit. Maybe their numbers start to climb, but I don't think any of these guys have been nearly as expensive as a lot of people would think. That's number one. Number two, I do think that they look at this quarterback room and they say, we always want to make sure we're keeping it stockpiled. Guys are going to come in. You're going to evaluate them. You're going to develop them. but not everybody's going to be able to play or start. And so with some of these multi-quarterback classes that you brought in, you make sure that position room stays in a very healthy place. They don't want to have to go to the transfer portal because you missed on some guys or some guys transferred out that you really needed. So they're constantly trying to stockpile that position each and every year because they know how critical it is to not only any program, but really in particular this offense with Ryan Grubb and Kalen DeBoer. And, you know, you kind of just let it shake out. So Kingston pre-year, that guy still raw. You know, there's some Elijah Haven in there where you see the tools. The tools are incredible. His ability to manipulate the pocket, avoid pressure, make big-time throws, whether it be on the move or from within the pocket, runs the RPOs. So he's got that kind of familiarity or element, that decision-making background, can make plays obviously with his legs, whether it be just buying himself time or taking off. Just he's got a very intriguing physical skill set. Still some rawness, but you also got to remember he's still got 2 years of eligibility in high school that he's got to work through. So what is he going to be? And I think based off of what they're looking for at that position, the fact that he's been asked to kind of layer some throws, or he can layer some throws, I just think he's got a great skill set that's going to fit perfectly in this Kalen DeBoer offense.
Yeah, no, I'm intrigued. I didn't see a whole bunch of them, but just when I saw his name, I kind of looked up and saw some clips. He definitely looks like another intriguing quarterback prospect to add to a room that has a lot of, you know, top tier, at least high school high caliber players, man. So I'm curious to see kind of how this whole thing works out. I guess the more swings you take, the better chances you have at hitting at something. So I'm sure there's some method to the madness there. Clint, I wanted to jump back to this current team. When you look at this roster, I know we talk a lot about all these guys that we expect to do a bunch of stuff, a bunch of big things, the guys that have already done things, they have those receipts. Who are some underrated players? If you had to pick a couple of underrated players, maybe some dark horse candidates that people might not be talking about right now, but you expect them to end up having a very productive season, this 2026 season, who would those players be for you?
Well, you know, the one that is the complete, or I wouldn't say complete unknown, but it's Steve Beaumois is one that immediately comes to mind. I think that if he earns the opportunities to do some of the things that he was doing in the spring during the season, I think he could be a massive disruptive piece and kind of a game changer for Alabama's defense. It's already going to be really good, but just that type of presence, having it up front on top of having Yanze Pierre, the thing about him, the reason that I'm not willing to dive 2 feet in is because there were so many defensive line injuries. Guys who were held out or limited. Jeremiah Beeman was coming back from injury. Edric Hill was limited at various points. Terrence Green was limited. There's just so many of them that I don't know if his time being spent with the first team was more that's where he's trending and he's ready to become that guy, or if he's just, you know, on the right path, but he's not quite there yet, and it was just because of the injury. So if he does end up getting those opportunities this fall, I think he can be a massive disruptive piece for Alabama, no doubt about it. I think Xavier Griffin, I don't know if you can call him underrated. He's a true freshman, but at least underrated for people like me who thought, okay, he's probably going to come in pretty light. They want him to play off the ball. I think his easiest path to first-year contributions is as an edge rusher. So, you know, but I kind of thought he was a little bit light. Seeing that he's continued to add mass and weight, good weight and mass, I think that's really going to help him as far as contributing in year one. And then I think Kedrick Bingley-Jones is probably the one, if you talk about sleepers, that would be another one that I would bring up. You know, this is a former top 100 recruit, at least according to one recruiting service. I think he was like 140-ish overall in the industry rankings, but has plenty of experience, whether it be in the SEC or at North Carolina. I think he doesn't, from a pass rushing perspective, not going to offer a ton, but from a run stopping perspective, can kind of play in that B and C gap and play further out than just being a typical nose, has some experience doing those things. When you talk about trying to limit the run game, as far as when you're playing the Indianas and the Georgias, you know, sometimes, you know, this past season that Alabama kind of struggled stopping the run, I think guys like Terrence Green for sure, but Kedrick Bingley-Jones as well, they were brought in to help on that front. So I think he's certainly going to be a big part of the defense this season.
Anybody on the offensive side that you want to throw in there? I know we mentioned a lot on defense. I was trying to think myself on the offensive side. It's kind of hard, I guess, because five offensive linemen, you kind of expect the people we've been discussing receiver. I guess we kind of mentioned some names. Anybody there you could think of maybe to throw in the mix? Maybe, I mean, maybe like a Marshall Pritchett? Do you think somebody like that could end up stepping up, or is there another name you got?
Yeah, no, Marshall Pritchett, I definitely think he's going to be involved in that rotation. I think they want to do more multi-tight end stuff. I don't know if we'll see a ton of 13 personnel. That's not I mean, I know that the NFL's heading to more of that. Georgia runs a lot of it. I don't know if Alabama will go that far, but I do think they want to at least use some more 12 personnel. And so that would give all these tight ends more opportunities. We know Caleb Edwards is going to be involved in that. We know Josh Ford is, but Marshall Pritchett is going to get his opportunities as well. And I think just from a kind of has more of a receiving background, but from what I've heard, I mean, in high school, he was certainly a willing blocker. You know, there was a lot of effort there. Technical side of it was still something that he was growing with. But I think that that is one who will probably be one of the bigger receiving threats at the position. So that would certainly be one that I would bring up. Trayshawn Brown is another one who we've talked a lot about. I don't think we're catching anybody off guard by throwing that name out there. But, you know, I just think that when you're a three-star recruit, I still don't know that he's going to leapfrog, you know, Kevin Riley or Daniel Hill or EJ Crowell or AKD, or I'm not willing to go 2 feet in, but based off of what we saw in the spring, just some of the things that we heard about him, whether it be publicly or privately, I just would be, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up working his way into that rotation, whether it be situationally or in some sort of, you know, fairly significant role. And so Alabama is looking for more help at the running back position. They really need more out of their run game this season. They'll give some of those guys, some of those returning players like a Kevin Riley, a Daniel Hill, an A.K. Deer, like they'll give them opportunities. But if they're not doing enough with it, I think Trayshawn Brown is somebody that they can turn to. And I'm sure there will be some, you know, freshman first-year struggles. But at the same time, I also think he's got a lot more ability than any of us originally realized. And he might end up being an early contributor for Alabama.
Speaking on the running back, sticking with that as we wrap things up, Clint, I got to ask you, we've heard a lot from Coach DeBoer the last week or so. He's been doing some media. Of course, the questions about the running game, changes that they're trying to make, the emphasis there, those have all come up and he's discussed it. So with so much emphasis that we assume will be on the running game going into this season, Clint, how confident would you be in saying that Alabama will return to having a 1,000-yard rusher this upcoming season? If you had to put a little friendly steak dinner on the line for a bet, right? Because I'm scared to bet now. We've heard the NBA guys going through it, the Soresby situation. We'll just bet some stakes. We won't do any money here. How confident would you be betting a stake that Alabama will have a 1,000-yard rusher this season?
Yeah, I could see it on one hand, but I'm not going to predict it just because I still think Daniel Hill's probably going to be your starter. I can't sit up here and put EJ Crowell as a top 20 player for me, saying I think he's going to be the most impactful running back and not think that he's going to significantly cut into, you know, Daniel Hill or anybody else's workload. So I think he's going to be in that mix, but I think him not really being the starter, he might not see the volume where, you know, he could be a guy who averages, you know, 5.5-6 yards a carry. Not necessarily predicting that, but I'm saying he could do something like that, like some of those former Alabama running backs, but he just doesn't get enough volume. It could also be a situation where, you know, he takes a little while, a few games to really get into it and ramp up. And so maybe Kevin Riley's working as that RB2 early, or maybe it's AK Deer, and then they start to fade to RB3 or lower. Like, I just think that until they've established, they don't have a clearly established guy. They have a lot of potential options, and we're looking at that room and we're saying, I mean, me personally, I wouldn't be shocked at all if it ended up being three, maybe even four different guys who ended up leading the team and rushing this season. So with that type of, you know, if you're looking at it that way, trying to predict someone to emerge above the rest and get 1,000 yards on the ground, I'm not going to do that. But I will say I think it's going to be significantly improved. Now, obviously, significantly can be jumping from well outside of the top 100 to, you know, somewhere in the 70s or 60s or maybe even 50s. So it's not like it will be an elite rushing attack as far as volume, the volume that will be required to be a top 25 or top 30. But I think efficiency and effectiveness is going to be a lot more so there this year than it was last year, just with the emphasis that they put on it. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it improves this year for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. In terms of the 1,000-yard rusher, I mean, there's so many names right now, like you said. I think volume-wise, there probably is going to be a number of guys getting their fair share of carries. So I don't know if just one guy will have enough volume to be able to reach that milestone, which really isn't that important. Like you said, the efficiency is what matters most. I just having some fun just saying. I mean, we're talking about running the ball so much. It would be kind of cool to see that 1,000-yard rusher again, because it's been a few years, but we'll see. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe even when the quarterbacks ends up having a number of those rushing yards. I wouldn't be shocked there if we start seeing a little bit more quarterback design run. Both these guys, I feel like, kind of have that ability. So we'll see if they sprinkle some of that in as well. Clint, we appreciate you joining us as always, man. Before we let you go, man, please tell everybody they can keep up with all the great work you guys are doing.
Yeah, you can find me personally at Clint R. Lamb on Twitter, or you can follow the show. We have a daily show. You can follow that on YouTube. Just search Cover Crimson. Or if you like listening to podcasts, wherever you listen, Apple, Spotify, or wherever, just search the Cover Crimson Podcast Network. And once again, Christian, as always, brother, appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to next week.
Absolutely, man. We're counting down the days. Almost at fall camp time, so we'll officially be back. It'll be great. We're almost through the dog days of summer, so we're looking forward to that. Clint, we appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely, man. Good talking to you, Christian. You have a good day.
Yes, sir. You too, man. Good deal. Our guy, Clint Lamb, Cover Crimson. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right.
Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless...
$299. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/8. While supplies last, selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for more details.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. The heat advisory is in effect until 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. We wrap up June today. Hot and humid with a slight chance for a thunderstorm. The high near 99. The heat index as high as 110, adding the humidity. Any rain that develops will move out through the evening with an overnight low of 78 and a hot start to July. Tomorrow we'll see sunshine early, then a few afternoon storms with a high of 97. The heat index near 109, and hot again Thursday with some afternoon storms with a high close to 98. I'm meteorologist Jeff Marr from the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 95 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Yes! Roll Tide all the time.
This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
back into this Talking Tuesday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Corey from Trustville up next. Corey, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how you doing this afternoon?
Good, man. What's going on, Corey?
Hey, Christian, got a few questions for you. One, did you ever compete against Dutch Fork in high school?
I did, man. They ended my senior season. We were undefeated until I played Dutch Fork in the second round of playoffs. It was like our first time our school had been in the playoffs in years, man. And we were undefeated. It was me. I was on scholarship to Alabama. Our running back was on scholarship to James Madison. Our linebacker, we was probably the best team our high school had in years. And unfortunately, man, Dutch Fork, they beat us in the playoffs, and they went on to win the championship. So I do have experience against Dutch Fork. Are you from that area by chance?
No. Trustville's here in Alabama. Trustville's in the Birmingham. I just keep up with a lot of high school football, and I noticed that Dutch Fork from Irmo in South Carolina is the powerhouse of South Carolina football. And yeah. I'm sure you're familiar with Northwestern and Rock Hill or South Point High School and Gaffney.
Yeah, you know all the good ones. Yeah, so growing up, those were all the powerhouses. Like the first ones you mentioned, I played against. Those were in my area. Those were in Columbia area. I was like Irmo. We played every year. Dutch Fork. I didn't play them every year, but we played them in the playoffs. But you're right. They were the Dutch Fork kind of ran the table. They had a bunch of former players and their coaching staff and a lot of really good championship teams they've had. And then ones you mentioned, I grew up Gaffney. My dad was covering high school football, matter of fact. South Point, where Clowney went to where? He went to South Point, right? I think Marshawn Lattimore, Gilmore.
That's not Lattimore, Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah,
Marcus Lattimore went to Burns. Jadeveon Clowney, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Holloman. All those boys went to South Point who all played in the National Football League. DJ Swanger, yeah. Also from the upstate. I think he went to Greenwood High School. Back in the day, there was about a 5-year run. The high school football in the upstate was tremendous. I mean, everybody in the country was in this part of South Carolina to get these kids out. That's how good they were.
Yeah.
When you go play in the high school state championship, where's the game located?
Williams-Brice Stadium. But sometimes they've done it different places. They've done it at South Carolina State College before. They've done it at Benedict College before. Some of the lower A schools, the 1A, the Skies private school, 2A has been at the smaller stadiums like Benedict College. But the other ones have been at the University of South Carolina.
Yeah, because here in Alabama, they were rotating between Bryant-Denny and Jordan-Hare, and I think now they're going to do it at Samford, Jacksonville State, and Protective State. And I wonder if they do it like other stadiums just to give other kids exposure, like Alabama State or Alabama A&M, just their exposure, because the more you can rotate around the state like Troy or something like that, the more you can, or South Alabama, the more you can expose kids to other campuses, because some of those kids might go to those colleges just to kind of experience the field of that stadium. And for a long time, well, really even before that, it was always at Legion Field. And then it went to Bryant-Denny and turned there back and forth, even odd years.
You're correct in that. And I think it's fair that you move it around. And you know, like Clemson, like here in South Carolina, Clemson don't really get a chance to get the state championship games as much for whatever reason. But I do like when they move it around and you give other schools kind of an up close and personal look at some of these athletes, and you have, you know, like you mentioned, the black HBS, the HBCUs, getting a chance to see those as well for the lower level athletes. So I think they should move it around like that. I think it's good for all the programs.
As far as here in Alabama, Thompson's the kind of the king of the state. I mean, and for a long time, Hoover was the dominant team for a long time. I mean, they've won, I think they had 13 state championships, but Thompson's catching on quickly. They've won like like five out of the last six or something, and I don't see them slowing down anytime soon. I mean, they're a machine. They've made several upgrades to their stadium, and they actually have an indoor practice facility that's really big, and they keep pumping out players that are just 4 and 5 stars. I mean, my team here in Trustville can't ever beat them, and I hope one day in my lifetime that my alma mater will win state championship, but it's going to be a long time before that comes.
Well, now, you know what, Corey, the hard thing now, and I know that I can only speak here in the state of South Carolina, kids now, they got this rule where you can go to school anywhere you want to. You know, it used to be by your address, right? What zip code you lived in, and you had to go to said school. Well, now they can go wherever they want. If you got transportation, you got a license, you can get yourself to school, you can go to school there. And what's happening is, there's some big time recruits in the city of Columbia, Irmo, Dutch Fork, AC Floor, another school. I'm talking about high level prospects. And these kids are going to Dutch Fork, where Tom Knotts is the head coach, who has won a gazillion state championships. And he's getting these kids. And so recruiting is not just in college no more, but recruiting has taken off in high school. And these better players are going to a program where they feel like, one, they can get developed, and they're going to get more collegiate attention. And it's hurting the overall, I think, consistency when it comes to a competition at the high school level. And I think that's a major problem.
I'm converting to the NFL, man. I'm watching the NFL a lot more now. Now it's gone down to the high school ranks, man. oh, God.
When you have all these big time programs sucking up all the talent, it's not fun to watch just high school football much, because how are the other programs supposed to compete? I mean, okay, breaking news, you don't. I mean, the smaller schools don't even get a chance to watch. I mean, I'll give you a good example. Well, I've watched some of the state championships, and you see 60-something to 7 or something. I mean, who wants to watch that in the state championship when one team clearly has the talent advantage? I mean, that's not fun to watch, is it?
Nope. And that's why I'm saying this. Football right now, man, is just a hot mess. It's a bed of mess. Dung, as they said in the Bible. It's a bunch of dung. I mean, go ahead.
Isn't that in all sports right now?
They're all bad. But basketball is bad. Basketball used to be kind of like the bad thing, you know, when it came to hiding players or players going to certain schools and, you know, saying they staying with grandma when they really live at home with their mother, father. I mean, all that was going on years ago. They were just hiding it. But now they just said, kind of like college and transfer portal, it's just like, bro, it's open season now. It's the wild, wild west. Do what works for you. Nobody cares anymore.
Pretty much. Corey, we got to hit this break, man. I appreciate you calling. Great stuff as always, man.
Oh, good talk to you, Christian. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir.
Roll Tide, Corey.
We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We got Digger on the phone line. I think he wants to holler at us about something. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless.
Once all the tickets are sold, you don't have to be present to win. To purchase tickets, Venmo at Brandon-Massengale, or bring cash to Jess Sumner at Cypress Supply.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs.
Visit Indeed.com/hire now and sponsor your job today.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Your front row seat to all things Alabama.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
And welcome back into this Talking Tuesday. This is the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Back to the phone lines we go. We got Digger up next. Digger, welcome in.
Buddy, y'all got to stop carrying on with Terry on. Come on. Yeah, I mean, I know he was a nice guy to you guys and all that, but boy, the mistake he made, he did this in the state of Florida. Okay? You do not, I repeat, do not hold somebody against their will in the state of Florida simply because of the laws in the 80s and 90s during the cocaine trade. They had a lot of South Americans kidnapping people, okay? And they said, we got to do something about this. And guess who sponsored that law? Disney. And I'm telling you, because it was spilling over in Orlando, and I'm telling you, in the city of New Orleans, in Orlando, in the state of Florida, mouth is king. Okay, they made an emphasis. If you're kidnapped and you're under 12, it automatically goes to the FBI. In special cases, multiple cases, you're talking four counts. Okay? I don't know what he was doing. Four counts. The feds are going to look at it. And I promise you, the FBI ain't going to say anything unless it's a definite. Now, maybe it'll downgrade to false imprisonment, but if the FBI looked at it, I doubt it. So I get it. You get a letter of leniency from Saban, but look at his track record. Look at his track record. He's got at least a dozen players gone bad after he left Alabama. Do you want me to name them all?
I do. I'm kind of curious who you're referring to.
Well, we can name start a few with of them. Reuben Foster. Reuben Foster, Russ Ratlin, and then you had a guy that was going 120 miles an hour with drugs in his car. He somehow found his way back on the roster at Alabama. Okay, but he later left. Okay, so I'm just saying. There's a dozen of them out there.
So I think you're talking about Tony Mitchell on that one. He had, first of all, he was going down to spring break, and there's somebody else in the car with him.
Where was spring break?
It was down in Florida. It was down in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But Digger, but how many kids drive down to spring break again? I haven't done this, but I've been in college, man.
Hundreds of thousands, and I would argue
there's a bunch that are going doing the same stuff. Not saying it makes it right, but and that was while he was in school. Listen, how many other schools have that stuff come up, man? I don't know. You reached on that one. I can't agree with you on that one.
And wait to be a clear,
I'll let you hear. I'm giving you the facts here, though. Terrion is not accused of doing any of that stuff, just to be clear.
Of course he's not.
No, but you made it seem as if he was doing it. He didn't. No one ever said he did anything. In fact, they've proven that he was not there and hardly have any evidence that he really is connected other than just the two witnesses that mentioned his name. Other than that, so I just want to be clear because the way you described it was as if he was doing it. That's indisputable that didn't happen.
of course he wasn't there. I get it.
Well, you worried it like he was.
He was the ringleader, man. Ringleaders don't show up and do the crime themselves. They have their go-to guys, okay? And I'm not saying
Digger, stop it. Stop all
Go
this.
Ahead.
Aren't you an attorney?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
first of all,
and I know the whole line about you're not guilty until proven otherwise. But
you're a legend, so you can't say it. No. Right.
Go ahead.
You're being unfair and saying he did this. You're basically already accusing this man and really don't know what he did. Now, if somebody held somebody against their will, this is all allegedly. So we don't know, and we're just speaking on the character in which who we know this guy is, that we've known the last, as Nick Saban said, 46 years. Now, you can give us advice about the Florida and the feds and all that, but you're basically accusing him, and that's wrong. And that's wrong. I mean, let's let them.
I'm not accusing him.
Yeah, you
I'm
said he held him against it. You said he held him against his will. Is that what you said?
You're defending him. That's when I got to step in.
I'm defending due process.
Are you telling me they fabricated this whole story and made it up out of thin air?
I'm telling you, two criminals, known criminals, convicted criminals, pleaded out criminals, is the only two people that said he was involved. So I'm going to... Let's character assassinate the people who are guilty, who may be lying. You don't think that's a possibility? Maybe they didn't get what they wanted. Maybe they wanted to give them some money, and he said no. Maybe they did that. We don't know.
If it was simple as that, you know this happened back in February. It took 4 months to come to this conclusion. So I'm just saying, Detroit didn't release him because, oh, wait a minute, this looks bad. Bad optics. They've got lawyers at NFL, and you know this, Corey. They've looked at it, and they said, this doesn't look good. I'm out. Come on. They know something that we don't know, okay? Mm. And you can vehemently, you can go ahead and defend him all you want, but how is that going to look when he gets convicted? That's just what I'm saying.
I am going to defend him. I defend there is due diligence and let the judge and the jury, the real jury, not Digger's jury in Louisiana. I'm talking about the real jury.
Digger's jury is probably fit with those jurors that Adam was talking about.
That's what Adam was saying. See, we don't want people like Digger on the jury because they're gonna put him under the jail.
I tell you what,
you go bring that letter from Saban to the courthouse again and see what happens.
Yeah,
it's not the law.
I'm gonna get my law degree. I watched Perry Mason back in the day all the time.
Oh,
I should be a lawyer, just like a lot of your fans think y'all should coach football because you play PlayStation. So I'm doing
all right.
Sealy Posturepedic mattresses. For the great sleep you deserve, visit Mattress Firm. We make sleep easy. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
are available now. Let us exceed your expectations at Mercedes-Benz of Tuscaloosa. MercedesofTuscaloosa.com. MercedesofTuscaloosa.com.
From kickoff to the final whistle,
we've got you covered.
Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
briefly, as we wrap things up, big shout out to our friends over at Lamper Law Education Advocacy, as we're talking about law and situations as such. If you guys find yourself in a situation or you just need any type of that representation, make sure you reach out to Adam and his team. LamperLaw.com is where you can find all your information, schedule yourself a consultation, and hear about all the other services they offer for high school, college, and graduate students, whether it's test taking preparation, exam mastery, subject matter mastery, that is, all that. They got you covered at Lamprello Law Education Advocacy. Check them out today, lamprello-law.com. Not only will they care for you in a first-class manner, but they'll do it at a very affordable rate, beating out the competition. So make sure you guys take advantage of that. We were going to talk about another topic. We'll save it for tomorrow, though. Gambling. I thought we were done with the Sorsby stuff. I guess we might as well just mesh both the worlds we're talking about today, the NBA, gambling. Now you got a whole nother case. Speaking of other, you know, people that find themselves in some situations, man, a couple NBA players, it looks like, Reed, also find themselves in a sticky situation. Well, guess what? I guess we got plenty to talk about with Adam on Thursday. I guess it's safe to say we'll ask Adam a number of these questions. But until then, hope you guys have a great rest of y'all's day. Appreciate you guys for everything. And we look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.